boost your EQ? Well, today's the show for you. We're talking with Dr. Jean Ann Craig about emotional intelligence and how we can develop ours right here, right now on Polly Campbell Simply Said. Hello, 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 and welcome to Polly Campbell Simply Said. This is the podcast where we talk about how to live well, do good, and be happy. And you know what? I think that takes some intelligence, but it's not the kind of intelligence that we are necessarily taught in school or even by our parents. So I brought in school psychologist, educator, and author, Dr. Jean Ann Craig today to be our teacher, to explain to us this kind of emotional intelligence that we're talking about today, why it's critical to our well-being and how we can learn it. Welcome to the show, Dr. Craig.
Hi there.
You told me this was your first podcast, so thanks for joining us on. Dr. Jean Ann Craig is the author of the award-winning book, It's Not How Smart You Are, It's How You Are Smart. And she's written a cookbook, memoir, and other things as well. But It's Not How Smart You Are, It's How You Are Smart. That really captured my attention, because in this job as a podcaster, but also in my work as a writer, I interview people from all over the world. And Dr. Craig, these are some of the most brilliant people on the planet. These are neuroscientists and psychiatrists and researchers. And some of them are really difficult to work with. Some of them don't feel like they have a lot of emotional intelligence. They don't know how to talk to me or relate to me or explain things in a way that is kind and courteous to other people. I'm hitting around at all this emotional intelligence stuff, but is that what we're talking about? How we relate to each other?
Absolutely. And how we relate to ourselves. You've written a lot about that.
I'm really interested in that. And I want you to teach me today. How do you define emotional intelligence?
Well, my degree is in developmental psychology. And so I read all the emotional intelligence books. And I thought, really, what we're talking about here is development. And we start out as babies, and we just need. And nobody minds because we're so cute and cozy. But if we keep on being those people that just need and want, and we don't learn to make it reciprocal, pretty soon nobody wants to hang out with us. And we're not very good at our jobs, and we're not very good at relationships. And so that's where I'm coming from. It's how the things that make us develop emotional quotient, I think that's, or yeah, emotional, yeah. Which is a shortcut for emotional intelligence.
I know it's too fancy for me. I like EI or emotional intelligence, because I think we relate to the intelligence factor, but I'm not sure we think about how we're communicating and connecting with one another as an important thing. And I read the other day that this is like one of the number one things employers are looking for now in employees. They want somebody who can relate to the other workers and the supervisors. So is this something I'm hearing? Is this something that is more commonly talked about now? Do we have a greater deficit of emotional intelligence, or why is this kind of rising to the top? You've been writing and teaching this for years. So what changes have you seen?
Well, I don't know that I've seen changes. I think this has always been a problem. There's always somebody who's a pain in the neck that you can't go along with. And there, unfortunately, there's always one in any work group. And everybody tiptoes around this person, or everybody clashes with this person. Or, we do what we can to get the job done and not sock them, which is what we really want to do.
What are some of the components of EI? Is that any trait that comes with this?
I've got 47 of them in this book I wrote. And they are, there. You said humor, that is one of them. There is, oh my gosh. The first one that I have in my book is knowing your non-negotiables. What I mean by that is kind of, these are the things that I cannot tolerate in a relationship, that I can't deal with. And so I'm just not going to hang out with you if you do this. And one of mine is being lied to. If somebody lies to me and I can't depend on what they say, I feel like I'm walking around on quicksand or something. I never know when I'm going to slip in. And so I want people to have integrity and tell me the truth. That's one.
I like that you mentioned that as part of emotional intelligence, because I started this conversation of how we relate to one another. But it occurs to me when you say that then, Dr. Craig, that I need to know what's important to me so I can choose the people I relate to as a part of my own intelligence.
Yeah.
How do we do that?
It takes a while. We don't know what our non-negotiables are until they've been violated too many times. And then it's like, no, I can't live with this. I'm giving up too much of myself to tolerate this. And I just can't do that anymore. So that's a non-negotiable for me.
It's about learning these things about ourselves so we can offer it in the world in a way that is collaborative.
Really? Yeah. You can have a high IQ. You can have all the tech skills in the world. And if you don't have emotional intelligence, you're not going to be very successful in your life. You're not going to be happy with yourself, and other people aren't going to be happy with you.
What are some of the other factors that you think are part of emotional intelligence?
Oh, let me see. Let me count the ways. What happened was I wrote a little booklet on, I think, 100 ways to raise your EQ. And they were just little one-liner things. And I decided I'm going to expand that into a book. But what happened is I got to 47 of them, and I thought I was going to spit up if I wrote one more. So I stopped at 47. But there are just many, many ways. Learning to negotiate, having boundaries, knowing what our boundaries are, learning to be assertive, taking care of ourselves in those ways. And one of them I have is hanging out with kids. That's going to raise your EQ.
Yeah, why do you say that? That's interesting.
Well, because what we do is we're the development is a pendulum that swings back and forth from self to other to self to other. And we don't want to underdevelop either one of these. Well, when we're hanging out with kids, we're mostly putting our stuff on hold to help them. And we learn a lot in the process. And the way I have talked about development is it's like the sand in the oyster. And so there's the grit, and we develop a pearl from that. And hanging out with kids will do it.
I'm raising a teenager right now. I have a teen daughter, and I'm laughing because last night she was very clear on what my feelings were as an individual.
Of course.
Yeah. And so talk about non-negotiables. I was learning in the moment what I am not going to put up with and what I'm, you know, and all of that. But they're also very honest, right? Some of the things she was saying were accurate. I do need to take a step back a little bit and be more open to some of. So it was a very interesting talk about grit. I'm getting it every day. I'm learning.
Well, good for you. I mean, one of the things I say is a way to develop your EQ is to learn to take criticism.
Oh, I don't like it.
Well, who likes it? Nobody likes it. But if we can not wear it and not think we're a terrible, terrible person, and just listen to what they're really saying is, next time, this is what I want you to do. rather than you really screwed up. They say that, but we want to hear the part of the message that says next time we want to do it a different way.
That is such a more positive way, because then I'm in a position where I can support or fill the need or be that instead of being feeling like a terrible person. That is such an interesting reframe.
Exactly. Yeah.
You must be like a doctor with some experience in this or something. You know your stuff, huh?
I'm also old.
We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back with Dr. Gina and Craig, we're going to talk about more ways to cultivate REI, our emotional intelligence, right here on Polly Campbell, Simply Said, part of Best Business Network of Electrocast. And we are back with Dr. Jean Ann Craig talking about emotional intelligence. And before we went to the break on Polly Campbell Simply Said, we were talking about the aspects of emotional intelligence, but you're also explaining that this is something we can get better at. We can learn more and evolve as we get older then.
Oh, absolutely. And I wrote an article one time for an magazine and said that one of the reasons that kids love being hanging around with their grandparents is their grandparents have lived longer and their pearl has had a better chance to develop. And so they're dealing with people at higher levels of emotional intelligence. Now, not everybody, but because not everybody develops EQ and emotional intelligence. But that is part of what happens when kids hang out with older people.
I like that relationship. I have some older friends that I really value. And one of the things that I find interesting is we in my generation, you know, 20 or 30 years younger than them. And then my daughter is another 30 years younger than me, but they seem so chill. And that's maybe what you're saying. They're not as reactive to the things that are pushing my buttons. It seems like the awareness is then at a higher level where they just know where to put their energy now. Is that accurate?
It's like, don't sweat the small stuff. And they have been around long enough that they know that most of it's small stuff.
Yeah. Is there a way to practice and learn some of that before we're under pressure, before we're feeling like we're failing or criticized or uptight? Can I do things today that are going to help me get better?
Well, I think starting to be aware of these things is the beginning. If you find yourself, you know, shriveled up or destroyed when somebody criticizes you, then you know that there's a place that you need to do some work. Well, of course, with kids, they're going to say, I hate you. And there's a piece in my book that I've quoted that says, we have to take that. And because it's part of their development and it's part of ours to say, yeah, I get it that you feel like you hate me right now. You don't say that, but I mean, that's what you feel.
Yeah. It occurs to me that many people are coming out of this generation of people pleasing, of doing things to be liked or supported, or because we think we should, particularly many women I know. Is that a sign of emotional intelligence growth that we're not doing this? Where's the balance, I guess, is my question, between really responding and being a good friend and supporting people and not going so far in that we lose our own self along the way?
Well, that's that pendulum that I talked about, swinging from self to other to self to other. And our job, our major developmental job, is to find a balance in there somewhere. And so if you're people pleasing too much, you're doing too much, putting too much of your energy on other. And if people are not wanting to hang around with you, you're probably doing too much developing self. So it's a balance, and it's very hard to achieve. We work on it our whole lives, but that's what those people pleasers are doing.
So I don't need to solve all my EI issues like today. Then I got some time.
You've got, you've got a day or two to do this. Yes.
I do get impatient with myself, especially in parenting or at work, when I find myself being reactive rather than responsive, when I go over the deep end and don't act with as much emotional intelligence as I would like. How do we come back to that? Is that about apologizing? Is that about meditating and grounding ourselves? Any ideas about that?
I think all of the above, all those things you said. It's, you know, we want to like ourselves. We have to live with this person. And so we have to forgive ourselves when we screw up, which we do.
Easier to be in relationship with somebody who's willing to be authentic about that than the guy at work or the woman at work who's all like, no, that's her deal. That, no, it's not my fault I missed the deadline. That's, you know, I feel like I run into those people where we like to excuse or blame others.
Yeah.
It strikes me that that's not a very high EI.
It takes a little while to wade through and find out who did cause this, but it's mainly all about forgiveness of ourselves and of the other people.
Compassion, then.
I saw that you wrote a book on spirituality, and I have a little piece in my book too about developing spirituality. And what I say is that we need to learn how to suspend disbelief and find a spiritual practice that appeals to us. And maybe we don't believe like the true believers do, but we can suspend disbelief. We do it when we go to a movie. We know those are just images on a screen, but we can really get into that. Well, we can do the same thing with spirituality. And that is one of the, your books are all about developing EQ. You didn't know that.
It's something that I think is really, you know, I think in terms of a lot of my own life of creating some space so that I can see where I'm at and still have a vision of where I want to go or how I want to be in the world or how I want to love in the world or whatever it is. But they don't always have to merge. I can have a moment before I cross that line one way or the other. But boy, that can be really challenging when your buttons are pushed, right?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And so we have how to soothe yourself. Sometimes that's what we have to do. And I've got a little chapter in there about dealing with little criminals on the playground. And I talked to him about how when you're calm, there's blood in your brain, and then you can do the smart things and stay out of trouble. When you're mad, the blood is all out in your hands and your tongue and your feet, and you kick people and you hit people and you say awful things.
Well, I think it's useful because even as an adult, I can relate to that analogy. When I'm calm, then I'm able to take in the entire playground or the entire workplace or and think and reason and be kinder. And when I'm angry or upset, I am so much more prone to like verbally smacking somebody or stomping or whatever it is grown-ups do, which we see lots of bad behavior in the world right now, doctor. Lots of people are bringing these things that maybe only used to happen behind closed doors, which it shouldn't happen there either, but that's the reality. And now it's, we're in public display. Like people are attacking each other constantly.
People that in high places that say terrible things about people and lie about people. And I think we used to have more, what do I want to say, dignity or something more.
What do we do when we see that outside of us? Is that a good time to sit back and say, oh, I don't like this behavior and kind of become aware of why so we understand what's working for us? Is it good to assess our place in all of this so we don't behave the same way? Or how do we get to that? How do we cope with that?
Well, gosh, I hope we don't behave the same way.
I know.
I'm struggling with that one myself. I think that, yes, there's always been evil in the world, but I think it's more apparent. We've got more, you know, avenues for it to come into us. Maybe used to be it was just the newspaper or something, but now we've got all these ways and we see this and it's appalling. Yeah. And but the only thing we can do is work on ourselves.
Yeah. And we don't have to, like you said, you're non-negotiables. I think that applies to every aspect of life in the world. there are certain behaviors that are non-negotiable for me. It doesn't matter if they happen on TV. I don't need to watch that, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I could talk about this stuff forever. I find it interesting. I think people are so interesting and so complex. And let's just start by being nicer to each other. Let's go there while we're doing the work, and maybe it'll make the world a little easier for all of us.
Exactly. Yes, yes.
Dr. Jean Ann Craig, what a joy. Thanks for being here today. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me, Polly. It's been fun.
And it's been fun for me too. Check out her book. It's Not How Smart You Are, It's How You Are Smart, as well as her other work. Dr. Jean Ann Craig, where can we follow your work, find your books, and get in touch?
Everything's on Amazon.
Check it out on Amazon. Get a copy of this book. It's good for you. It's good for your kids. And it's interesting. It's a fascinating read. I think a lot of it will click into place for you like it did for me and think, right. That's why I'm feeling like this. And you can find out more about Dr. Jean Ann Craig and link to her work on thepollycampbell.substack.com. Join our Simply Said community there. And keep the conversation going. Remember, when we step back and become aware of who we are and what we care about, what we want to bring to the world, when we understand ourselves and our non-negotiables, then we can go into the world with greater emotional intelligence and kindness for all. And that will help us all live well, do good, and be happy.
Electric acid. Welcome to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing, where we harmonize your mind, body, and soul. I'm Amanda, your sound therapy expert.
And I'm Stephen, the curious explorer uncovering the mysteries of sound.
Together, we explore vibrations, frequencies, and the power of sound therapy and tuning forks.
Discover ancient wisdom, reduce stress, and tune into a healthier life. Subscribe to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing today.
Welcome to Transforming 45, the podcast that celebrates the incredible power of passionate voices. I'm your host, Lisa Boat. Join me in conversation with heart-led humans who share their deeply personal stories of transformation. Transforming 45 is here to uplift, connect, and remind you that it's never too late to write your next chapter. So get ready to be inspired, empowered, and transformed. Join me in this community where through powerful storytelling, we heal and reclaim our inherent magic.
Electric acid. Electric acid.